Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are going to be getting once again into the world of digital payments. This is a conversation that we attack from different points of view periodically, whether we're talking about remittances, whether we're talking about the interoperability of mobile money into the mainstream economy. There's always so many ways in which we can talk about these things. So for today, we're going to be chatting about the world of lending and how that is being now assisted by AI. And we're going to be talking to one of the big fintech operators, that is Jumo, and we're going to be getting a sense of what business looks like for them, and also at the same time what are some of the opportunities that they are seeing on the African continent. To help us to make sense for that, now we are joined by someone who is no stranger to this platform, and that is Bradwin Roper. He is joining us today as Jumo's Chief of Payments Partnerships, and that's a role that he recently began as of the start of November. I'm happy to say that Brad is probably the first and only person, I need to say that carefully, that has been on this platform in two different capacities, because previously we had him on this platform when he was the CEO of MTN's fintech unit for South Africa. Brad, greetings to you today.
Greetings to you, Mudiwa. It's wonderful to be back. My career has just followed wherever the biggest opportunity for tech to make a meaningful impact, particularly on the continent of Africa that I call my wonderful and beautiful home, and that I have fallen deeply in love with. So it's good that I get to join you from Jumo. And with your permission, I'd love to share with you just a little bit about who we are and why I'm so excited to have joined Jumo specifically at this point in time, and how much I'm looking forward to, the opportunities that are on the horizon in the future.
Yeah, no, definitely. We definitely need to get a sense of what Jumo is. I think I first started covering Jumo in November of 2021. They had a big capital raise at that time. I think $120 million at the time. I got to chat to Andrew Watkins Ball, who is the founder of Jumo at the time. I'm going to read to you how I described Jumo in 2021. And then you can give us a sense of, how I guess the business has evolved over time, and, what's missing from here. We said at the time that, Jumo primarily offers savings and credit products to entrepreneurs in emerging markets, as well as technology infrastructure to partners such as mobile operators and banks to assess lending risks, detect fraud, and verify identity of their clients. That's how we described it back in, when I first started covering Jumo. But I'm sure you've got a much richer way of describing everything that Jumo does for us.
No, I think that opening definition is spot on. I would go on to say that, we've proved ourselves nearly a decade later to be probably the preeminent killer use case for AI in banking, and probably on the continent. So the whole world has gone absolutely crazy about AI. If you think about, just this latest raise that ChatGPT did, a couple of weeks ago. Those tools are solving for productivity and, those types of like helping us be better and smarter human beings as sort of knowledge workers and in the creative industry. Our AI is helping solve for fundamental basic needs on the continent. So we offering, as you said, credit solutions, and products to entrepreneurs, in emerging markets and core banking technology And we partner specifically with e-money players and other mobile fintech players just for the power of their distribution. So the problem that we're solving for is simple. There are 360 million unbanked citizens in Africa. And that, for me, is a huge problem. So how can we help give dignity, give better choices, and really introduce, 360 million Africans into the formal financial services sector and into the economy? Now, at scale, so where you're finding us now, I'll share with you our stats that we put out. This is for the full year. I want to give you a full year's version of who Jumo is. And in a few months' time, we can do a follow-up on, how we've closed the year in 2024. But we do 56 loans per minute. That was the average in 2023. And here's something that I'm so incredibly proud of. 50% of our medium to small enterprises who take up a product or a solution from Jumo employ at least one other person. So when you talk about, the structural need of, this youth-based economy in Africa, this is a labor-absorptive solution, which we're incredibly proud of as well. From a scale and an acquisition perspective, just again, it's quite astounding when you hear this, but 4.6 customers per minute. That's what we're onboarding. That's the might of the platform, and that's kind of where I launch off of. And then from an impact perspective, I know, Mudiwa, before you even ask me, because you and I share the same view around, small to medium enterprises has got to be the solution for a lot of our issues, particularly on unemployment, underemployment, and huge sectors of youth unemployment. Very proud to say that 68% of Jumo customers are medium to small enterprises, and medium enterprises, and predominantly in the informal sector. So that's why it's labor absorptive. 83% of customers that have taken up a product from Jumo are satisfied with the product. And nothing speaks to better satisfaction than repeat customers, right? So 94% of customers are repeat customers. So they come back because they really enjoy the product and the features. 79% say access to Jumo's platform improved their lives. I mean, that really is something to be incredibly proud of and something that I leaped at the opportunity of to join. And then more importantly, when we speak about, choice and advocacy, 80% of our micro, small and medium enterprises say that the solution helped them to be able to plan financially. So, I mean, these are incredible stats that have taken us years and years to get to. And we couldn't be more proud of, the access and the choices that we're granting to individuals across the continent.
Maybe I'm just going to pause you for a moment there, Brad, to say, when it comes to the stats that you're presenting, of course, it shows that there's a very high take up of the number of people that are coming in. I'm looking at that 360 million. I think people would consider it an addressable market or a TAM of some sort. Keen to understand, what are people actually taking this money out for? And I ask that because when you talk to small businesses, there's a lot of different needs, right? Some people just simply need money to tide them over whilst they're waiting for someone to pay them after a few days, whereas others are literally looking for, I just need cash to be able to get stock so that I'm able to do that. So from what are you, obviously, Jumo doesn't operate in one country, so it's not monolithic. It's a complex question to say what are people using the money for, but yeah, just keen to get your take on that.
Yeah, so I mean, the data, we have data points on this. Increasingly over time, the end point, and this is the journey that we walk with our customers, because we also pride ourselves in digital and financial literacy. So the end point, the bulk of the customers, as I mentioned to you, are medium, micro, small, medium enterprises. actually using them to invest in their businesses. So they're using them, you know, for stock for their businesses, and actually to run their businesses. If you think about it, even here in South Africa, you know, small businesses really struggle with credit. You have to have an income statement and a financial plan and all these kinds of things, let alone, you know, the requirements to, you know, get, for example, an overdraft. So you can imagine, you know, access to our product is really in the long term, just driving the bulk of the use case at the end of the journey is actually to reinvest in businesses. And that is why, you know, we can boast that stat that more than 50% of customers that use our products are actually employing at least one other person and thereby contributing to, you know, labor challenges across the continent as well. Isn't that incredible?
No, it's very incredible. And I think underpinning that, of course, is the fact that the elephant in the room here is the fact that we're talking to a market of people that, as to your point, have been largely left out of the loop when it comes to your traditional banks or traditional lenders, right? And one of the things that's been most interesting for me to engage in over the last few years on this platform is talking to a number of people that, you know, lump themselves into this category called alternative lenders, to say that we are able to score people on an alternative set of data that the traditional banks are probably either ignoring or just don't even think about, right? So when it comes to you guys, how do you, I don't know, whatever you can reveal, you know, behind how the AI actually goes about, you know, assessing. If Mudiwa comes and he says, you know, I need, who knows, maybe 20,000 rand to get my microfiber cloth business off the ground, right? Like, what is the AI assessing me on?
Yeah, gotcha. Well, let me ask by saying, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So last year we dispersed $6 billion into 8 different markets. That's the scale of us right now. We did 210 million individual loans. So that's the end point of scale. So, to your point about, you know, who's making a meaningful impact, that's the scale and size of our impact. Just to build on to, you know, the impact of that, not just our, you know, 2/3 of our customers, you know, micro, small and medium enterprises, we're also using it. We can showcase through our research that, you know, it's used for businesses. Like I said, for other use cases, for education, for medical emergencies, and obviously for cash flow purposes so that the businesses can continue to sustain themselves. I think one of the points I want to make about what differentiates us is if you take, for example, another critical stat for you is our number of new to finance customers was up 66% last year. So, I mean, that I don't know any major player on the continent that is driving, you know, financial services and digital adoption. But I want to break Jumo down into sort of three critical capabilities for you, your readers and your listeners to understand.
Yeah.
So number one, we do end-to-end fulfillment of credit products and savings. So data storage management, account product management, user journey management, both app and USSD, customer engagement, payments and collections, the risk and compliance. So we do that first point at a lower cost, because that's the first piece of capability that we have. The second piece of capability that we have, which is very critical as well, is our AI-driven underwriting. So that's where we do scoring, forecasting, experimentation, model development, portfolio management, provisioning and impairment. So we do that at a far lower risk. Last year, our bad debt percentage was 4%. So, you know, I mentioned $6 billion. Because our machine is so smart, our bad debt portfolio bearing in mind that we also said that 66% of our customers were new to finance customers. Even that said, our bad debt weighted average cost of risk was about 4%. And then the third critical component, which is unique to us, is we are also multi-funded. So you mentioned that you were speaking to Andrew about capital raising, et cetera. We are a different organization to what you know then. We are multi-funded now. So we have bank capital. Ghana, I mentioned to you that I just spent, a week in Ghana, which is one of our biggest markets. We have multiple banks. We have a securitization stream coming online there. So we have multiple asset classes, bank capital, securitization, and we have institutional capital. So we can draw from multiple sources of capital. So if you think about it, you know, one customer could come in and get scored, underwritten by our platform, and then it draws from capital source A. The same customer could come in on the second loan and we could draw from capital source B. We have all of that data and we do all of the management, all of the data compliance, all of the reporting, including all of the regulatory reporting. So it's just an incredible machine that continues to learn and grow. And as a result of that learning and growing, the other cool thing, which is really, really astounding to achieve, is since 2015, because the machine has grown and learned so much, we've taken on all of those insights and all of those benefits and passed them back onto customers. So from 2015, we've seen a 47% price reduction that we've passed onto our customers. So we're talking double-digit growth, but high double-digit growth. We're talking super high double-digit, cost savings for customers and scaling across multiple capital streams in multiple partner integrations.
Out of interest, because of the fact that you have the machine scoring people on an individual basis and all of that stuff, does the pricing also tend to be individualized?
So the pricing is a fantastic conversation to have. So firstly, a couple of things about how we've been able to build our scale up to this might. So when we have capital, the way that we allocate that capital is we don't just allocate capital to the best risk customers. When we enter a market or even in the markets that we have, we always disperse across the entire risk spectrum from low all the way to high risk because the machine needs data to learn. And in so doing, because of that, we now have an addressable market that is potentially 10x because we sit on all of that data. And the way that the pricing works is on the client side, we want it to be as simple and as transparent as possible. So it's tailor-made pricing to an individual, but it's one fee. So our interest never compounds. So you come in for, $100 loan and you're going to pay $7 on that. That's a one-off fee. If you pay that tomorrow or you pay that in a year's time, it never compounds because we didn't want to confuse the market. So all you know is it's a simple loan. There's a fee. Think of it as like an access fee. It's far lower than what traditional incumbents would be costing. So it's far cheaper to the customer and it never compounds as well because we wanted to really strive for simplicity. And the more the machine grows and the more it becomes smart and the more it scales, the more we will be able to pass on all of those benefits to the end users, being, the 230 million people that are in desperate and dire need for capital to grow and fund businesses and help absorb labor across the continent.
Yeah, no, it's an approach that I, would be in favor of, because a lot of the time the blanket approach, doesn't augur well, especially for some of your smaller business owners, because everyone has such disparate needs on their liquidity and also on their capital. So anything that can be done at the individual level to at least make sure that someone is able to get the money into the business, but be in a position to pay back the money, because sometimes when you get some of these products, it almost seems as if you're being set up for failure. You know what I mean? So
it's so true.
Yeah. So, putting that stuff,
go for it, finish your thought.
Yeah, so I think in my view, taking it to the individual level is probably one of the best things that can be done, especially for, you know, those SMEs.
Yeah. And so our machine is built as follows. When we talk about AI underwriting, think of it as such. You come in today on a particular risk profile. We underwrite you. The entire machine is centered towards driving you towards a lower risk. Because it's learning with you. It's growing with you. It's monitoring you. You know, we walk a journey across multiple platforms, being USST, SMS, even app. In some regards. So the whole machine is centered around, you know, the might of our AI is meant to help you, grow, lower your risk and, you know, grow into your portfolio, which is incredible.
Mm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I can imagine that it's probably one of those discussions where you could probably be helping a lot of these businesses to create profiles that can then be used at some point with 100%. Some of the more traditional lenders.
That's exactly it. So you'll recall, when I was the CEO of Mobile Money in MTN South Africa, we partnered with Jumo at the time, and we put a product live. The bulk of those customers were what you would call traditional thin file customers in South Africa. So no credit bureau profile, lending on the platform. But the beauty of that is the experience thereof was then written back to the bureau. So Jumo was that first loan that you get. And now you get a loan that's paid off. You get, you know, you're in good standing. And all of a sudden, the big five, big six, however many you want to call it these days, you're credit worthy. And so now, hopefully the end point of that is someone can say, you know, the loan or the savings product that I got from Jumo is the reason, you know, 10 years ago, I now have a bond and I have a home or I have an asset, you know, that's driving my business forward. So that's our mission. That is our long-term mission, is to just provide customers with that first point of choice and then just unlocking a whole host of choices for you to be able to navigate your version of financial freedom.
So maybe now, because you have already brought up that example, the last time as Business Day that we interacted with you, it was, around that particular, around that particular development when MTN launched Quick Loans with Jumo. What is life like on the other side of that equation?
You mean on the Jumo side, which is where I am right now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the thing about it is, what I love about what we have is we have the ability, because we are multi-funded, we've been stress tested through some of the craziest scenarios in terms of currency devaluations across multiple markets. Our returns to, you know, the third side on capital have been consistent. To the extent that we have multiple capital providers, you know, wanting to capitalize and see some returns. Some of our existing capital providers include, you know, Letsego, Standard Bank, a whole host of sort of, tier APSA across the continent, a whole mixture of sort of tier one capital providers. And that is unique, for any kind of fintech, you know, where you have tier one capital providers going, we like it. It's repeatable and we want to put more money into it. And then we have our own in-house sort of AI capability. We've spent hundreds of millions of dollars investing in that. And you know me, Mudio, I'm a technologist. Tech for good is my reason for being. And I feel like, you know, when you grow up and you're driving like a jalopy in terms of tech, I've been given the keys to a Ferrari. Like the team have built over the years an absolute Ferrari and a big, you know, caterpillar truck or whatever, you know, just a juggernaut in terms of capabilities. And so I'm very excited about how can I leverage that tech for good, which is really cool. And then the other interesting thing is on the payments partners and ecosystems, which is, you know, specifically what I'm accountable for at Jumo, is Juma have plugged in, we've plugged into, we just find strategically where the biggest customer sets are. So the biggest growing customer ecosystems are MNO players, and we have multiple partners that we partner with, including, you know, a long-term relationship, obviously, with MTN, which is where I come from, long-term strategic relationship with, you know, Airtel across our markets and growing. And we're also starting to integrate with other tech players as well. So our CIO says that our platform is ready and built for more than 10x in scale. Not just in terms of actual scale and capability, but also in terms of configurability. A real life story for me, when I was on the other side, we went from an Excel spreadsheet and a PowerPoint dream to live in 6 weeks. That's how agile it was. From the first meeting we had to live in 6 weeks. That's how configurable we are. So we can plug and we are ripe and ready to plug into multiple partners on the distribution side. We already have multiple capital streams coming in. Our platform is geared for more than 10x scale. And so that's why I'm probably the luckiest man alive right now, because I get to help drive those, you know, partners, those partnerships and help grow towards, you know, that goal of sort of 10x. There's a saying that I encountered just in Ghana last week. One of the bank executives said to me, and he put it to me because, you know, we straddle between, you know, capital providers, distribution partners, our own tech, regulatory. We have deep, teams in each of the countries, that we operate in, because we need to understand the data protection laws, the customer protection laws, you know, the credit laws, in each of those countries. So we have a very deep understanding of that. But the point of it is, platforms, Modiwa, are really easy. Partnerships are hard, because our job as Juno is to find win-win-win-win. Win for distribution partners, win for capital partners, win for Juno, and win for the end customer. It's a very hard thing to do. And fortunately, we've got, you know, nearly a decade's worth of track record on finding a four-way win, win-win-win-win. Most people are talking win-win or win-win-win. We're going four-way win. And that's why, if you ask me, I strongly believe that we are the biggest and killer use case of AI in Africa using tech for good.
You know, I like the fact that, you know, you're talking about the difficulty of the partnerships, right? Because one of the things that I've heard, and especially interacting with a lot of corporates, and especially corporates that have that multinational type of status, is that if you make a deal with a multinational and that deal is applicable over a number of countries, signing the deal is the easy part. But
that's easy.
Making that deal work in the different countries is a real tall order, because once again, countries are not, you know, are not monolithic. And then also at the same time, you have perhaps competing interests, you know, in the various countries. And you also have to navigate that political element. What works in one country doesn't necessarily work in another country. That specific partner might be the best in market in one country, but might not be viewed as such in another country. How do you anticipate some of those dynamics to keep you up at night? I think that's the word I'm going to use, you know, going forward in your role.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, we're multinational, but we're also multi-local. So we have deep and amazing teams in country. And we spend a lot of time in country. But the real trick of it all is our commercial astuteness, across partnerships. There's no partnership that looks the same, in any of our iterations across any of our product lines in the markets, because just in Ghana, I had meetings with five banks with five different requirements in terms of, you know, their capital objectives in putting money into Juno. And we had to meet with them and meet their specific issues regarding an NPL issue or a reporting issue or a compliance issue or, you know, VAT issues. And so we're meeting with them and we're co-creating solutions and the whole team shows up, right? So we have some of the best brains in terms of corporate finance, you know, commercial astuteness. And then we have a legal arm that is absolutely incredible. So we're able to tie up whatever the agreement is between sort of the commercial arm. We're able to tailor make it and sort of tie that out. I mean, we churned out, you know, four agreements and with four commercials or four agreements. And that's done. So your whole organization has to be geared towards partnership. And that's what we are. Our commercial team is geared towards finding that win-win-win-win. Our legal team is geared towards finding that win-win-win scenario. So it really is a mindset. And I guess the difference for me and the biggest eye-opening thing for me is we're not a zero-sum organization. We, that 10X component, that also speaks to demand. We, our demand, based on the capital that we have, we literally could 10X ourselves. And so the pie is big and the opportunity is too big for, you know, one big monolith to solve for. So we think that we need as many partners, as many institutional investors, as many distribution partners, you know, crowding in to try and help some of these grand societal challenges. And it really is in the mindset. You know, trust is something that you can't manufacture or engineer. It's just born into who we are at Jumo.
Before we let you go, Brad, being cognizant of your time, I want to pose something, I want to pose something to you. And it's around this aspect, you know, this theme that we've spoken about to say that African countries are not monolithic and the fact that you almost have to have a country-specific way. I think you used the word hyperlocal, you know, aspect to how you operate. A lot of what we've been talking about is, you know, individuals, individual businesses. But one of the things that I have seen in a number of different countries across Africa, in South Africa, we call them stokvels. But in essence, you have a, what's the word? You almost have a cooperative type of model that a lot of small businesses use. You know, let's come together, maybe 20 guys, you know, so that we can have better terms with our suppliers. Maybe we can have a joint loan, whatever it is. How do you see that playing out? Does that fit in to the type of work that you do in any way?
We are singing from the same hymn sheet here. So we have two opcos, Tanzania and Zambia, where we have savings solutions live. You can imagine for us to build savings solutions is far easier technically to do than it is to, you know, disperse $6 billion 210 million times over. But what we want to do is in the same way that we've leveraged tech for good to solve for the basic need. The basic need is I want to start a business. I need some funding. You know, I need, for example, you know, workflow management, capital cycle management, etc. So we really believe that we've solved for that. And in fact, there's still that 10X demand that we're going to continue to chase. But what you can look forward to from us is, you know, we've just discussed as an exco that we really want to innovate specifically around needs of savings products across the different markets. And we have lots of ideas around and deep customer research around what those needs are. And so while we're live in two markets, the idea is to switch on all of our markets as quickly as possible. But we certainly are not going to do, you know, vanilla type saving things. We're going to leverage AI for good. And we're going to solve for exactly the types of use cases that you're talking for, you know, be it, you know, group type savings or, you know, gamified type savings or educating customers around, you know, what could a return profile look like, you know, had I invested, even if it's just mirroring, you know, had I invested in a particular stock, you know, what would that return profile? So we want to drive education, but also once we've got you, you know, given you freedom of choice for your ability to run your business, we certainly want to drive a savings culture across the continent.
All right. So I think that's how we round up today's discussion. It has been a great one. Just talking to Brad from Juma about what's going on in the market, giving us a sense of, you know, the nature of the businesses, how they're using AI to score people that would otherwise be left out of the loop when it comes to your traditional financial services. Also giving us some insight into just how high the demand is for these types of products and solutions. I think he mentions the fact that you have over 360 million Africans that are left out of the loop and, you know, that they are trying to target. At the moment, they've been able to, you know, get to about 23 or so million, which means there's a huge, piece of the pie that they can go after. And the way in which Jumo is going about that, and this is part of Brad's job, is to go out and have partners that could potentially have access to large, pools of, people or customers there. So mobile operators become an interesting one because you have these large subscriber bases. You know, I think in the case of MTN, you've got 280 or so million across the African continent. And then I think roughly 70 million on fintech. But how do you credibly go out and, you know, disperse loans to the people that are there in a way that results in only a 4% delinquency rate, like what, Brad was telling us about. And he kept talking about the machine. And the way he was talking about it, you'd swear that we're talking about a character from a science fiction novel, this machine that he's talking about. But he says that it's probably the best case for AI in the world of financial services on the African continent. Also giving us some insight into how you approach different markets, because we've said this time and time again, Africa is not a monolith. They have a number of countries that they operate in. I think the number that he gave us is that you've got 6 billion that's been disbursed across 8 different markets, and how you do that is, very tough. But you have all of these different puzzles that you have to solve for, and, just making sure that everyone is taken care of. So that's been it, Brad. Have I left anything out?
No, Mudiba. Just to say, obviously, the platform is not just about the scoring. It's the entire underwriting, plus, the capital provision as well. It's just an incredible feat of beautiful AI that, can be leveraged as tech for good on the continent. So keep holding us accountable and keep checking in on what we're doing. We're hoping to continuously surprise you and the market.
No, most certainly we will be, keeping in touch and, seeing how that story goes. Very interesting, of course, just to see the fact that the business that I first started covering as Jumo has evolved into, something else at this point. So we wait to see how the story continues over time. So that's been it. We were in discussion with the Jumo's Chief of Payments Partnerships. That is Bradwin Roper. Brad, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mudiba, and to your listeners.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiba Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.